And just as hard to find.
I'll call to order the meeting of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission for Friday, January 17, 2020. Welcome, everyone. We'll get started with the, before we get to commissioner discussions, I have two announcements that I'd like to make for clarification on our agenda item number 8, which is forest restoration projects briefing and decision. This is going to be moved to February. And on a commission issue, as it relates to the HSRG subcommittee that we have, that we've had a meeting with the tribes and are going to have another meeting with the tribes in February, Jim, Commissioner Anderson is going to replace Barbara Baker, whose plate is extremely full. So welcome, Jim, and look forward to working with you on that. That's all I have. Commissioner discussions.
Yes.
Commissioner Thorburn.
I attended, along with Commissioner Smith, the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies winter meeting. It's mostly at the winter meeting. There are two, we call it WAFWA. There are two WAFWA meetings a year, and the winter meeting is mostly directors and commissioners. It's an opportunity to meet and talk with fellow commissioners. There's a committee that's called the Commissioners Committee. It meets all day the first day. And we share with one another. Most of the western states were represented. I don't think California, even though they were the site of the meeting, had any commissioners there, and New Mexico didn't have any commissioners there. But otherwise, all of the western states were represented. It's always an interesting discussion because we share very similar issues, although the breadth, especially of the Pacific coastal states, is a little bit wider than South Dakota, for example. They talk about their pheasants. Well, they weren't talking about whitetail all that much, but it's interesting how much our issues cross over. There is a lot of discussion about what we call R3, and that is the diminishing number of our traditional constituents, hunters and anglers, and what we're doing to try to counter that and recruit new ones and retain those who do hunt and fish. But the other big piece, I call it R4, is how our constituency is changing and what we're doing to show our relevance to all people, that fish and wildlife are public trust. And it is our responsibility. We're sort of like the trustee in terms of ensuring that fish and wildlife sustain into the future. There's been a lot of work by the parent organization, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, on this issue of relevancy, and they've recently published what's called the Relevancy Roadmap, which will be a tool for all fish and wildlife departments across the country to look at our own organizations and have tools to show our relevance to all of our constituents, as well as retain our traditional constituents. We have specific briefings in the commissioner committee. One area that we talked about was wildlife crossings, and there's a lot of work being done with wildlife crossings throughout the West. We had some of the science on wildlife crossings presented to us, as well as the activities that all of the states are undertaking. There was also a presentation to the commissioners about how to use social media. The second day, we meet with the directors, and we spent a lot of time really kind of looking at the organization and WAFWA itself is undergoing some leadership change. So we were talking about how we might structure these meetings in the future to be more useful to both the commissioners and the directors. It's really worthwhile to attend these meetings, to have this opportunity for networking. And I actually was talking to our deputy director yesterday evening. Both Commissioner Smith and I really are going to encourage more involvement by our executive management team. These organizations do have specific issue components. I've actually been involved with WAFWA for a long time in my grouse work. There's a whole prairie grouse group that meets on a biennial basis, and I've attended those. It's an opportunity for all the scientists working on grouse to get together and share. And I think we have a lot of staff participation at that level. But I do think that at the executive management level, it's really an opportunity to network with your colleagues. So we're hoping to see more executive management involvement in the organization as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Tarbert. Any other commissioners?
I just wanted to let people know that the very nice lady, Fish and Wildlife, has a library, and the library is just right down the hall on the right. I was in there this morning, and the lady said that she normally doesn't work on Fridays, but she came in today because the commission was meeting. So I'd like to encourage all of us to go in there and look around. Some of the swag on the desks is from her, and some of the posters that they're giving away are beautiful, and we all might have kids or grandkids that would enjoy them. So I'm just putting in a plug for the library.
Anyone on the left? Nope. Anyone on the right? Okay. Thank you. We're going to move to item B, which is meeting minute approval. You want to go first, Commissioner Baker?
Well, Chair Carpenter, I'd like to ask the commission if it would be okay if we approve the minutes later in the meeting.
Okay. Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Okay. Committee reports. Commissioner Thorburn, would you like to start? Because you have quite a few. You mentioned quite a few this morning.
Sure. So the two committees that I will report on are the Wolf Committee and the Wildlife Committee. We did have public in attendance. We've kind of gone back and forth in terms of having public participate in our discussions. Our committees are really an opportunity to delve deeply, to have a few commissioners delve deeply into specific issues that probably are going to come before the commission, be well informed. What we've found with both the Wolf and the Wildlife Committee is that we pretty much fill up the time with our agenda. And so what we've decided to do, or what I've decided to do as the chair, is we will go through the agenda first. And if there's time, it will provide a little opportunity for the public in attendance to make comments. We did not have time with either of the committees yesterday, so it was, we were really pleased to have public in attendance and listening, we weren't able to hear from the public. So just a little process description of these committees. So the two items that we had on the Wolf Committee agenda were looking at, to back up, the Wolf Committee is fairly new, and we formed it because there's a lot of work with wolves going on that really are going to result in policy. And it was time for the commission to really start reengaging in Wolf Fork because of these upcoming policy decisions that are going to be made. In particular, two processes that are going on. We're going to be receiving a status review of wolves in about a year. That will include, as it always does with status reviews, reviewing the status. Currently, wolves are endangered throughout the state, and one of the things that we do when we have status reviews is the staff makes a recommendation about status, and the commission looks at that and provides guidance on the status. The second process that's going is eventually wolves will be delisted in this state, we need to have a plan for management. So we're working on that plan, looking forward to the day that wolves are no longer listed. We've finished the first portion of that plan, staff has, and that is what's called scoping, where we go out and ask our public what do we need to consider in a post-delisting management plan. We've had thousands of responses that are now being reviewed by staff. The staff has begun to organize those responses into topics, and that's what will guide the alternatives that we consider as we put together that plan. So a lot of our discussion yesterday was where the committee itself will engage in these processes and what we will bring forward for commission action. Little bit different kind of process. Usually these public processes are pretty much handled by staff, but because of the tremendous public interest in wolves, we're going to recommend that the commission be a little bit more engaged. So the decision that we made, particularly on the post-delisting plan, was now we've had scoping, we've heard from the public all of the issues, there's a lot of work for staff just kind of going through and sorting and organizing those. And we want to make sure that staff and as we move forward getting public input on the alternatives, that nobody goes down sort of a wrong lane, or as Donnie talks about, things begin to diverge in terms of what the commission is looking toward in this policy and what activities are going on. So we call those
sideboards.
And so we're going to at our next Wolf Committee meeting in February bring some ideas. We committee members bring some ideas about sideboards, have a good discussion, and decide if there's anything that we think needs to be brought to the commission for a decision. And just as an example of what we're talking about here, there were a lot of public comments on we should eradicate wolves from Washington. Well, maybe not a lot, but these were some of the comments received, and others, we should never kill a wolf. And we may say, just to kind of get out there as these alternatives are being considered, wolves are not going to be eradicated from Washington. Wolves are here to stay. But at the same time, the department reserves killing wolves as a tool for wolf management. So very broad kinds of direction, but making sure that it doesn't go off kilter as this hard work is done. The second thing that we talked about at the meeting was an update on the wolf livestock conflict protocol. This is a work in progress always that WAG is really concentrating on. As you know, we had a lot of conflict this past grazing season, and WAG is looking at the upcoming grazing season and what can be done. And so we got a report on that. Committee members, is there anything else that you want to add? Moving on to the Wildlife Committee, we also had a couple of things on the agenda. The first was looking at enforcement around the question of public safety and wildlife. We have been spending a lot of time looking at cougar management. As both the committee and as the commission, there are some real concerns about cougars and public safety in some areas of the state with lots and lots of sightings, wildlife conflict, and actual concerns about human safety that have been raised in certain regions of the state. And in fact, in the Northeast, we had enforcement at the meeting, and they reported that they've just looked at the numbers of public safety responses and cougar takes. That's actually a response where they had to kill the cougar. There were 75 in northeastern Washington this past year. That's the highest number ever. It's a huge number, and really does reflect some of the concerns that we're hearing from folks in that region and other regions of the state regarding cougars. The question that we were looking at is who's responsible for this sort of nebulously defined publics in law, at least, public safety when it's wildlife. Is that only our officers, or what is the responsibility of local law enforcement? And so we had a briefing on that. I very much appreciate that both our enforcement chief and deputy chief were there to participate in the discussion and kind of fill us in. It is complicated and an area that the department is putting some time into in terms of collaborating with local law enforcement and ensuring that we're, again, kind of parallel in terms of our approach to these questions of when it's necessary to lethally take a dangerous animal. The second thing that we talked about, we had a briefing at our December meeting on non-lead ammunition coalition. This is a movement that's gaining traction because of the threat of lead in the environment to wildlife, and the fact that ammunition is one of the major sources of lead in the environment. There's a group that grew out of the Peregrine Fund that is sort of leading this education and outreach effort. And we talked about what we want to do to proceed in terms of collaborating with this group. And our decision was that we've heard the presentation. They've provided us with some information about possible collaborations, and we thought it would be important for the director to just kind of take a look at that and decide what level of collaboration it is. We are interested, certainly, in pursuing it and making decisions about what kinds of activities we can work with them on, but welcome them into the state to work with us. Is there anything else that we need to add on that? Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Next will be the Big Tent Committee, Commissioner Baker.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. We met yesterday evening. Public was in attendance. It was an open meeting. The commissioners there were myself, Commissioner Thorburn, McIsaac, Linbill, and Anderson. We talked about three things. The first was not on the agenda, but ironically, it is agenda planning. And we made the recommendation to this committee or to this commission is just that before the agendas are published every month, that a draft of it comes to the chair, myself, and Commissioner McIsaac for us to look over and make suggested changes. And again, that's before the agenda goes on the web or goes out in any fashion. If there's no objection to that, we're not supposed to make decisions in committees. That really is just a process question, but it's something that we thought needs to happen. Just as a heads up on that, the February agenda that has been published will be changed, and that should happen this weekend. So that was the first thing we talked about. It took about a minute and a half. We then went into a new discussion. No decisions were made. No recommendations were even made. But the discussion is whether the commission needs to adopt what's sort of the shorthand version is called the conservation policy. We currently reference principles of wildlife governance. We talk about the North American model. The agency itself has a policy, which is numbered 5004 on conservation, which is quite a nice policy. And so we tossed that around for a while, and the takeaway is that staff is going to go back and put together sort of a draft commission policy for us to look at the next meeting, and we might be making a recommendation that such a thing comes to the full commission. I don't know yet. And the third thing we did was we talked about strategic planning. Oftentimes in these kind of forums, there is just a ton of work going on in the background that doesn't get discussed much, and that's strategic planning. I'm not going to discuss it much today. But I wanted to let people know that we have a team of people at basically the highest levels of our agency executives meeting with staff of the agency. That's the internal groups. I think they've had 8 meetings around the state to talk to them about strategic planning. And then also meeting with interest groups and people who care about what we do outside of the agency. And so what the deal is that we're going to try to have a strategic plan completed and adopted by summer of this year. It's going to be interesting to see how we synthesize the internal input, the external input, and our input. But we are working on that. And the exciting thing about the strategic planning is that there seems to be a pent-up demand for us to change some things sort of on all sides. And so this strategic plan is not going to be a telephone book-sized recitation of every little thing we do currently. It's going to be a change document. So it does bear watching on all fronts. Last thing I want to say on that is if there's anyone who feels like they would like to have input into that or would like for Amy or Jeff Davis or Nate or whomever to talk to, please let one of us know. I mean, we want to cast as broad a brush as possible on this. So that's what we did.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. The other committee that met yesterday was the Fish Committee, and I've asked Commissioner McIsaac to report on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try a real brief stab at the Fish Committee report and maybe ask the other committee members to add in for things that I've missed. And then after that, I'll also give a committee report or a committee update of the Joint State Columbia River Policy Review Committee, just an update of where that's at. So with regard to the Fish Committee meeting that was held yesterday, all the committee members were in attendance. Commissioner Kehoe was in attendance telephonically. In the audience, there was about a dozen members of the public, about a dozen staff, approximately a dozen in those cases. And there were other commissioners in the audience as well. I think all of the other commissioners were there at least for some period of time, except for Commissioner Smith. The first agenda item taken up was Puget Sound crab, and we received a presentation from Mr. Bob Sizemore about some treaty tribe initiatives regarding recreational crab fishery management and the Fish and Wildlife Commission policy C-3609 that deals with the policy dealing with the recreational crab fishery. He talked about seven different tribal initiatives, four of which would require policy revision to act on, and three that would not require policy revision. The staff had a 10-page handout that they went through, and there was some discussion of this, and the committee did hear from the public on this. I'm not sure if this characterization of how the agenda item ended is complete or entirely accurate, so I'd ask for help from the other committee members. But I thought in general that at the end of this agenda item, the staff was going to respond to the tribes that this had been brought up in the Fish Committee, it had been discussed, and that the staff-to-staff level communiques would continue, and that at some point it may come up again in a Fish Committee or to the commission, but I'm a little fuzzy on how that actually ended. The second agenda item that was taken up was Willapa 2019 egg take distribution, and the staff went through a graphic that showed what the eggs on hand are at each of the three hatchery facilities in the Willapa Bay proper, and there was a discussion about whether or not those egg takes should remain at those hatcheries or whether or not there should be transfers of those eggs to other facilities, either in accordance with the Willapa Bay policy or for other objectives. There has been a public meeting in the local area about these alternatives, and so that has occurred. In the end, at this agenda item, it was not resolved, but anyway, the end point of the discussion was that this is a policy decision for the full commission to take a look at whether or not to stick to the policy language, to deviate from it because we're under a review that anticipates there might be some policy changes. So that was suggested to be a February agenda item. And on our draft February agenda, there is already a Willapa agenda item dealing with guidance on fishery matters. So the suggestion from the Fish Committee to the full commission was that that be added to that agenda item for a fuller discussion in February. There was an agenda item on hatchery and fishery reform policy workshop discussion. One bottom line of that discussion had to do with the scheduling of the workshop. The February agenda has that on our February agenda, but the dates for the workshop that were being solicited were at the end of February, the last week of February. And there was discussion about moving that workshop to the front shoulder of the February meeting for efficiency of travel and maximizing the attendance of commissioners, and when we get to future agenda planning on Saturday, we would the Fish Committee would anticipate or recommends that there be a fuller discussion about that at that time. The last agenda item was the HSRG Task Force recommendation coming out of the legislature, and Mr. Tom McBride gave a presentation on that. And the essence of his presentation was that the task force majority recommendation was that the provision of money and the requirement to the HSRG as required by the department having their independent review of hatchery operations be terminated because the existing co-manager review possibilities were viewed to be strong enough. There was a minority report that they weren't strong enough, and it's good to have an independent review from an outside body, and that the funding continue. And so Mr. McBride indicated that this is in the hands of the legislature now, and that we'll find out at the end of the session whether that task force recommendation stands or not. And that's all I have in my brief thing. I'd ask if there's anything I missed here of importance or elaborations.
Thank you, Commissioner McKay. You want to continue on with your next committee report?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. let me bring up my notes here for that. So this is an update of the Joint State-Columbia River Policy Review Committee. And as we left our Bellingham meeting in December, we had a commission perspective that we were going to move forward with the Policy Review Committee, the PRC Committee, in the months of January and February. And we looked at a graphic at that time that had us continuing to work with Oregon over the course of the winter at their request when the November cancellation occurred, and then taking up a two-meeting process after that in each state. That was the idea that we came away from in Bellingham. So after consulting with the chair, I called the Oregon chair and asked that she do the following to try to necessitate these meetings that were upcoming. I asked her if she would complete the doodle poll, if she would complete the appointment of the third member, and that if we could use that as a way to move forward. So that was shortly after our December committee meeting in mid-December. And so she did fill out the doodle poll, but I talked to her on the phone, and she had yet to appoint their third member. And that we talk again on January 8th. So we talked again on January 8th, and at that time she still had not appointed the third member. And she did have some concerns about how much time to invest in PRC meetings over the course of the winter. When we talked on January 13th, she said that she was interested in suspending Oregon's participation in the PRC committee. So I wrote down what message I should bring to this commission that describes what her to accurately characterize where she was coming from and what we should all know, and went over the statement with her before the call ended. And so I have written down in my notes the following: that she intends to tell her commission that she has talked to a lot of people on this issue, and where she has landed is making a recommendation or announcing her decision to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission to suspend Oregon's participation in the Bi-State Policy Review Committee for 2 years, and to delegate to their director the authority to negotiate catch allocations during that time frame, but not to negotiate any of the other policy features of a possible joint state agreement that have been discussed at the Policy Review Committee forum. She also said that she hoped it would be possible to negotiate to have a main stem Columbia River commercial gillnet fishery in the fall, but not in the spring and the summer, spring or the summer. So that's what my notes reflect. And again, I did go over that with her a couple times before the call ended. And I told her that I would report this to the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission at this meeting, This did come as a bit of a disappointment as the as going into the call this past Monday. I was still hoping that the third Oregon PRC member would be named and we'd be looking at the doodle poll to finalize logistics. However, if this does happen, then it effectively ends the Joint State Committee process, and we will need how to decide on how to proceed in Washington. I'd answer any questions about the statement that I'm delivering on this update, but we have a report due from our director on Columbia River policy discussions with the Oregon Fish and Wildlife director during the director's report after public comment. So I would suggest we wait until that point to discuss our options for our completing the review process or policy C-3620. But I'd entertain any questions about the statement now.
So,
Mr. Thorburn.
So we will discuss how to proceed after we hear from the director. Is that what's being suggested here? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Kehoe. I'm sorry, Commissioner Thorburn, were you done?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Kehoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Don, for that summary. I will say I share in your disappointment as a member of this PRC committee, a person that, you know, for my own selfish reasons, spent a lot of time and effort working on this, you know, in a collaborative approach, and only to have our partner withdraw from this process. So myself, very disappointed to hear that news. So I heard you mention, Commissioner McIsaac, that Commissioner Wall or Chair Wall had spoken to or talked to a lot of people, and then based on these conversations that she's decided to take this action. Were you able to get a little bit more information about why? Not just that she's talked to a lot of other people, but what came out of those discussions which made her make this decision?
Yes, I did ask her why, and we had a discussion about that. She mentioned that her commission has a lot of new members, was one reason why. She mentioned staff workload. We had a discussion about that because the staff workload is probably 85% done on this whole process. In addition to that, she did not offer any other reasons why.
And then
Mr. Kehoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to follow up. So I heard you say, Commissioner, that that part of her direction or what she's going to tell her commission, the Oregon Commission, is not to negotiate other features of a possible agreement that have been discussed at the PRC forum. What does that mean, at least it's your understanding?
Yes, thank you. So in the discussion about the implications of the PRC process being terminated, I did mention the question of what to do about all of the things that the PRC has been working on and what might happen about those. So while people focus on the allocations as a primary thing of the plan, there are several other things that the committee has spent a lot of time on, and we're ripe for a decision at the PRC level on what to do. One of those that we spent a lot of time on was, and Commissioner Graybill was very involved in this, was the upriver, lower river sharing of the sport fishery catch for spring Chinook. There were four other policy issues that were being discussed. One was what to do about doing a little bit better job on a conversion of the commercial fishery fleet to some sort of alternative gear, if some could be found that would be more selective than the current than what's currently being used by the fleet, gill nets and tangle nets. Another one was the buyback program. which the discussions included how a meaningful buyback program does need to be done in both states, and having one done in one state doesn't make a lot of sense. Another one was the topic of hatchery enhancement being part of a Columbia River agreement for salmon fishing. Another one was a discussion about thermal refugia. That was an issue that actually brought forward by Oregon that was to be included as a possible section in a new agreement. And so there are other features of various allowable fishing gear things that might may or may not be actually in the world of negotiating delegation to the director. But those other policy issues are the ones that we talked about and that I brought up. Dropping those for a period of 2 years seems like speaking as one commissioner, but speaking for the position that the commission is taking, that we were advancing these policy discussions to occur in the spirit of a joint state agreement, and that dropping them for 2 years would be something that I told her would probably garner some discussion at our table.
Okay. Commissioner Graybill, and then Commissioner Anderson. Go ahead, David.
Don, thank you again for your report. I myself am not terribly disappointed to see this process ended. We've been meeting since last February and have not reached what I consider close to final determination on the assignment of finding a concurrent agreement with Oregon. You mentioned alternative gear, buyback, the spring salmon allotment, and some other issues that were included in the discussions with Oregon. These do not need to stop because the PRC has been suspended. We have mechanisms, the Fish Committee, our commission, to work forward on these. And these are not new issues to the commission. And the spring salmon allotment can be determined through a process. We will have to get agreement with Oregon, but we have public meetings planned on this issue, and we can move forward on all the items that you mentioned, and as we should. The buyback needs to move forward, alternative gears need to be moved forward, and the other items, but they do not require the PRC process to accomplish that.
Okay, Commissioner, do you want us to respond quickly? Because we are going to get into future planning on this item here, as Kim had mentioned previously. So, Don, go ahead, and then Jim, and then Kim, did you want to wrap up? Okay, go ahead.
So, just again, getting back to her statement that she was at a position of suspending any further discussions and not including in the delegation to the director those matters. And so, to the extent that changing the sport fishing shares upriver requires both states' agreement, her statement indicates not delegating that and not having discussions for 2 years, and the same with all the others. So what we can do in one state when it requires two states sounds like suspension to me.
Okay, Commissioner Anderson and then Commissioner Thorburn, please, and then we'll wrap this and move on.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. I'm disappointed in the suspension because I think it's characterized as 2 years, and quite frankly, 2 years starts tomorrow. In real life, I mean, it's going to come right around the corner, and I'm generally hardwired to deal with the issues and not kick them down the road. And so I just feel like this is a decision that's maybe politically expedient and not necessarily any better than if we kept on the track. So.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Commissioner Thorburn?
I was just going to say I happen to be one of the people who Chair Wall talked to. And just to shed a little light, she was What she expressed to me was she was very concerned about the sort of continuing sort of mulling over the allocation discussions. And I think a sense that they weren't really going anywhere. Very interested in we had a lot of discussion about the conservation aspects of the policy and the things that are still on the table. And those are what she was interested in moving forward with. So.
David?
Just briefly, in my conversations, I just want to echo what Kim said. In my conversations with Chair Wall, the concern for conservation was paramount. Mm-hmm. And superseded the necessity of arriving at harvest shares. That was what I took away from my discussions with her. Thank you.
Thank you all. If I may, I will wrap up committee reports.